This is Brian Meador from East Carolina University. You are listening to The Sports Objective, the official, unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the first pick. What a great night with you guys. Appreciate you tuning in. We're going to be talking completely baseball. That's on Rock
was fine. We're getting feedback from somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from.
All right.
Appreciate everybody coming on tonight. And right now we have Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Dave. Sitting here, glad we won today after the performance yesterday. Good to get a bounce back. The bats came alive, and hopefully it'll stay that way the rest of the conference tournament.
Bubba Rosenbaum is in a traffic jam on I-40 near Hickory. I know that area, Lenore Ryan Country. And Bubba, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. I feel like the Griswolds,
Yeah.
Got the family in the car on the way back from my niece Julia's graduation. She's class of 2021, Morganton Freedom High School.
I know it very well. We used to play the East Carolina School for the Deaf. We used to play the North Carolina School for the Deaf when I was coaching there at Eastern, and that was our rival, and we had to play the Bears up there. So know the Morganton very, very well. Bubba, very excited right now to have two great former Pirates for EC Baseball. They know what it's like, the thrill of victories and the agony of defeat. And with us right now, we're really happy with our ECU letterman and former EC Baseball player Brady Lloyd. How are you, Brady?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Well, I know one of the Pirates I read, one of the Pirate faithful put on there that he could breathe. And after a big Pirate victory today, one of the things I was talking to another Pirate fan who played in the past said he was glad that he didn't play during the times of social media. Pirate fans have been a little hard on the team. You've experienced, I know that. How hard is it to, with the ups and downs of the program? And I put on there on the post today that it's a marathon, not a sprint. You hear about that all the time. There's a lot of ups and downs in a baseball season. It's very unique. It's not like football, where there's like 12 games. You guys have normally 56 games in a regular season. What's it like as a player? I guess we'll start off here and we'll backtrack and talk about your career and everything, but I'm fresh on my mind. What is it like being a player during these times and
hold on one second, Dave. Brady, can you, is there any way you can turn your speakers down a little? I think maybe that's where that feedback's coming from.
How's that?
I don't know. We'll have to see in a minute.
All right. How about I'm not hearing anything now.
Not as bad as it was. Not yet.
All right. There we go. Maybe it was me.
I don't know.
No, but I mean, playing, like you said, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Coach preaches that all the time there. You can't focus on the past. You can't focus on the future. You got to bear your feet on every day, focus on the present moment. So, I mean, with social media, all that stuff, I mean, it's right there in front of your face all the time. You can choose to look at it and let it get to you. You can just not worry about it and play. And that's what we really focused on at ECU, was really not focusing on what the media said, how great we were, or when we were playing bad, oh, we got to pick it up. We didn't worry about that. We just went out there and played baseball every single day. And yeah, it works. I mean, you have some ups and downs, but and then as long as you stay where you are and keep going, like ECU baseball does, they have a couple bad losses here or there, but the next game they're going to come out ready to play. So,
Brady, how do you bounce back from, you know, it's particularly, you know, we're in conference tournament time, but you lost three in a row, two at South Florida, and then against Memphis yesterday. So when you're on a losing streak like that, and it's the first time that those guys have lost three in a row, I think it's the first time that this program has lost three games in a row, since the UCLA series in 2019. So how do you think those guys bounce? Obviously, they bounce back with a win today, but how do you adjust yourself mentally when you're on your first real losing streak of many of these guys' career in a Pirate uniform?
I mean, they're definitely not. They're still going out there. They're trying to compete every single day. I mean, sometimes baseball, it just happens where, I mean, you just keep having to grind through some tough stuff. And that's why, I mean, what's great about ECU and why Coach Gotwin pushes is just you gotta push through. You can't worry about what just happened. So, like, yeah, those guys, whatever, yesterday they lost. But whatever you think about that loss, figure out what you can do better for the next day. And then when the next day comes, you shower and you're ready to play. You're not worried about what just happened. So that's what's great. Coach Gotwin teaches that. Coach, the whole staff, we really, they're really on top of it to stay in the moment all the time.
Brady, it seems like this team to me at times really responds at the plate, depending on who's pitching. Like, we seem to hit really well when Gavin Williams is pitching. How do you get, obviously you're not going into a game with the mindset of, hey, Gavin's pitching today, so I'm going to play extra well at the plate. But how do you get that to translate no matter who's pitching, that you have a great effort at the plate and, you know, it doesn't matter who's pitching for you?
I mean, like, Gavin's pitching, everyone pumped up, he's throwing some high velo there. So, I mean, you got that momentum there. I mean, when any of your pitchers are doing well, it's easy because you got that momentum. You can come back in the dugout like, yeah, we're ready to go. But, I mean, just every day you need to come out ready to go. And they do, and sometimes, like, you can get caught up in the, oh, things aren't going our way on defense, but you got to be able to – get yourself out of that. And they usually do. You realize where you are. Yeah. You see those yellow lights, as we call them, and get out of them and make sure we stay in the green light, stay in the moment, ready to roll.
Do you tend to feel more pressure if you don't have as much confidence? And I'm not saying they don't have confidence on whoever's on the mound, but do you tend to feel more pressure at the plate if you don't have as much confidence on who's on the mound? Like, you need to produce more runs today, and so inevitably you're pressing too hard?
I wouldn't say specifically, because I'd say if coaches put them out there, we have confidence that they're going to do their job and get the job done. So, I mean, I say from experience, I never really went out there thinking different pitcher, different mindset on our side, just trying to go up there and hit whatever their pitcher's throwing at us, kind of breaking down what we got to do to execute what the plan is that day.
Brady, how much of it is too that
Dave, you completely cut out. Technology, you gotta love it.
I was asking how much.
There we go.
There we go. One point that you pay too much for service. Anyway,
oh, Lord.
How much of it is that you're trying too hard this time of year, being the tournament, you won the regular season, you know that you have a shot still at being a regional, a national seed. That's still got to be on your mind.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. I mean, it's definitely human nature that you want that. You know what's there. But at the same time, you, like I said, you kind of have to be able to stay in the moment as a team, and you just got to realize where you are and what's going on. And that's what we do, a lot of great stuff. ECU kind of trying to control that mental aspect of the game and really trying to hone in on not letting it get there. But it's human nature to just kind of let those big moments or what's going on, like, oh, regionals, what's down the road, but kind of have to zone it back in, realize we're in this moment, playing conference tournament, just beat Cincinnati. Now we got to focus on the next team that's coming after us. So,
Does losing in game one, obviously you want to win game one, you want to stay in a winner's bracket, But just losing in game one, now knowing that, hey, if we lose one, we are, we, you know, it is done until regionals. Do you think that actually helped these guys focus on the moment at hand, knowing, hey, if we lose again, we're out? Do you think that makes focus a little easier?
Not specific. I mean, yes, no. I mean, they're, I think every single day they go out there, they're focusing on winning. I mean, I would say like regionals 19, lost that first game. I didn't really say we were focusing on the fact that we lose one more, we're done. We were focused on the fact of we're going to go out there and beat the next team that's in front of us and just keep going. So that's why I'd say they kind of focused on there.
Talking about the regionals in 19, obviously, yeah, like you said, similar situation, obviously bigger stage, but you guys lose game one, come back, run through the thing, you know, win the regionals out of the loser's bracket, which is hard to do. And then you go to Louisville for the Supers. Were you guys exhausted by the time you got to Louisville? It seems like you got an unfair shake with, I think if I remember correctly, it seems like our regionals might have been the last to end, and then I think we were the first Super Regionals to play.
Is Dave trying to say something?
Who knows?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Yeah, I was agreeing with Kyle that was like the last game was a Monday, and then you had to turn around the first game on.
Yeah, the Supers. The last game was on a Monday of the regionals, and you guys turn around and started the Supers at noon on Friday. Was that, am I remembering right?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely remember. I mean, we played those four games in 2 days. That next day, I remember being tired and sore. But I mean, not that I wouldn't say like specifically we were tired going into the Louisville game. We were ready. We were pumped up, ready to go. And we took the day, the next day off and got ourselves ready to come to practice in the next couple of days and get ready for the Supers. But I mean, I remember, I never drank energy drinks in college, but that last game for the regionals, the championship game, I was like, man, I need something because this is a long two days of playing that many games. So we got it and ended up winning, which was awesome. Probably one of my favorite experiences of that ECU is winning that regional there. I mean, we had a great team for sure.
Go ahead, Dave.
I wanted to put some comments on the screen from one of our viewers and listeners, and that's Josh Thomas. This was a complete effort today by the team. Also says we were stupid last night, showing the world why he's the player of the year. So we get ready to play in second base. He's having an unbelievable year, Norby is.
Yeah, absolutely. He deserves every honor he got. Dave is clearly having technical difficulties tonight. But do you guys just asking in general, this, you know, East Carolina has been obsessed with Omaha going back to Keith LeClair, and you know, all the fans talk about the 30 trips to the postseason, you know, the most trips in, you know, any school without going to Omaha. And obviously one team has nothing to do with the other team not going. How much is Omaha in the College World Series talked about internally in the program? And do you guys feel that pressure? I mean, do you put the pressure on yourself? Or is it just, you know, like you were saying, you just take everything a game at a time?
I mean, yeah, we take everything a game at a time. I mean, everyone, like I said, we know what the 31, whatever it is, number now that we haven't made it there. But I mean, like one of our main goals in our vision after it's first one, we want to win those 40 games, want to win conference, want to win regional supers and go to Omaha, win a World Series. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, that's what we're striving for, but we got to check off each of the other ones first before we can get there. So yeah, it's the end goal in sight, but we gotta, like I said, you gotta focus one game at a time, and it's tough to do. It's not easy to get to a World Series, as I mean, we can see. So it's gonna take some tough teams, and ECU definitely has some tough teams to get there.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, over the years, and like I said before, I think sometimes the fan base, you know, gets frustrated. And one thing I keep trying to point out to people is, you know, the 2021 team has absolutely nothing to do with the 2000 team that didn't go to Omaha, that lost in the Super Regionals. I mean, one has nothing to do with the other. And it's just that goal sometimes, I think, of going to Omaha, for the fan base I'm speaking about, it seems to be all-encompassing. Like, winning the regionals is great. Winning the conference championship is great. But it's like we almost, and I say we, and I'm talking about the fan base, it's like we almost can't enjoy it because we're always thinking about, well, but yeah, but we didn't go to Omaha.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and that's one of the great things about coming to ECU is, I mean, the fan base. I mean, that's what I'd say is one of the coolest things, why it was so cool to host a regional, is you have those fans that are that passionate about baseball. I mean, hold the season for the last however many years. I mean, the fans come out there, they come support, they're passionate. I mean, they take losses hard. They love to see us win. So, I mean, seeing those stands filled is what's cool. Regional filled, when you win the championship, there's no cooler experience than seeing that home Greenville crowd out there cheering you on. So, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, if we do host next weekend, and you got to figure that we're, you know, even with the three games that we lost in a row, we're still in pretty good shape to host, particularly as we, you know, hopefully continue on through the conference tournament and pick up a couple more wins. If we do host next weekend, it looks like we'll be at full capacity, 5,000 people for the first time all year. And as you mentioned, you've played in that atmosphere for a regional. Talk about it. How does Clark LeClaire, the atmosphere there for a regional, differ than a regular season game?
I mean, it's I mean, you got those I mean, you playing the regional, I remember playing kind of opened the first game regional, probably like 18, like you get those like first game starting jitters. Like you're just like, oh my goodness, like this is cool. Cause I mean, it's, you know, it's a regional and that place is absolutely packed. So, I mean, it's pretty awesome. And I mean, playing there, knowing like last inning, getting that last out, I mean, like you're just, it's so cool. You just look around, the place is packed. So, I mean, it's a cool experience. It's definitely something that, I mean, like regular season, I mean, you go to other big schools and play. And I mean, I'd say Greenville hosting a regional is as cool as going to Ole Miss to say and just have a regular season game there. I mean, it was pretty cool on my take.
You mentioned the 2018 regionals. What do you remember about the that damn Wilmington game with the rain delay that seemed to go
on for about 6 hours.
Yeah, all I remember both regionals is rain delays and just waiting for to go play. I mean, it's one of those things you gotta stay ready. It's tough. I mean, it's tough to go back in the locker room and kind of wait a little bit to play. But I mean, like Wilmington, I mean, we came out, we scored a couple runs right away. And then, I mean, somehow, I mean, it wasn't meant to be, and Wilmington won that game. But I mean, it's tough. I mean, rain delays are tough. That's why you have to have a tough team to be able to win.
Yeah.
No question about it, Brady. With back now, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Restarted the internet, everything. So hopefully, we get the rest of the show. Nothing like a live show. But anyway, so as far as you were talking about that regional in 2018, with that Wilmington game. I know South Carolina ended up winning that regional in Greenville. How much with that 6 hours, you're talking about mentally being tough. I know Coach always talks about being mentally tough, but that it seemed like even as a fan, somebody watching the game from my vantage point, I was so nervous as a fan. What about the nerves you guys have? I mean, we're not even playing the game.
I mean, personally, I'd say, like, especially once the game starts and you get that first ground ball, you get that first at bat, There's no nerves to have to really slide away, even with the rain delay coming back out. You're ready to go. Once you kind of get that first ball under your belt, first at bat, it's just, I mean, I wouldn't say the nerves are there. I mean, usually I say if I don't realize what's, I don't want to say what's going on, but if I'm so in the moment that I'm not hearing what the fans saying to me, kind of with Coach, you're locked in, ready to roll.
Well, speaking of which, with the, you know what it's like with the conference tournament, winning and losing it, tough grind, especially with that format. What was it? Was it 18 with the weather? No, yeah. It was 19. It runs, but that was so weird. We're so scared. Oh my God, the rain is coming in, and we got to get all these games. And then I know we have to play in the was one of those cameras fence. It was crazy. I know if they had it back, they would probably do it differently. Hindsight is 2020. But do you remember all that?
I remember that. I mean, it's crazy because every day I'd be like, okay, we got an off day. No, we play at 12. Nope, we're getting ready to get rolling at 9. And then ending up like the rest of the day, it doesn't rain at all. And you're just like, okay. But I mean, that, like I said, you have to be a tough team. You got to be able to have the endurance to roll through it. End up winning in 18. So, I mean, you know, faced adversity and we had a win. And so it was pretty cool. Definitely tough to be able to come today, ready to go, but that's what we're trained to do. So,
no doubt. We also have Eric Tyler is backstage. We'll get him in the green room. We'll get him on in just a second. Richard Allsbrook asks, your favorite game memory, Brady?
Favorite game memory? Well, like I said, I'd have to say winning a regional in Greenville. Nothing like that. Having that fan base there and winning in front of your home crowd. That's a great feeling right there.
Brady, how was that stadium in Clearwater and just the atmosphere in general? Do you like that spot for the conference tournament?
I mean, yeah, I definitely like the spot for a conference tournament. I mean, it's not like very packed with like fans. Just, I mean, based on location, not everyone can get there. It's awesome being able to stay on the beach. Gotta make sure we're not on the beach too much there. yeah, it's one of my favorite places to go for a conference tournament. So, I mean, it's the Phillies complex. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a great trip, particularly if more fans could go. I know if a school hosted it, obviously you would have more fans there, at least of that one particular school. But if you're going to do it in a neutral site, I kind of like that atmosphere and setup better than a big city. Like, you know, the ACC, I think, is in Charlotte, and the SEC's in Hoover, which is right outside of Birmingham. I like the vacation spot setting for a conference tournament to me better than the traditional big city if you're going to do a neutral site.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'd probably say most of my teammates would say the same. They enjoy that. Parents definitely enjoy it. They get to spend a little bit more time by the beach than we do, but it's a fun place to go. Clearwater's a cool place, and everyone usually likes it. So,
yeah, and to me, another aspect from a fan, and I've thought about going in a habit, but maybe in the coming years, is it's one of those trips where if you go down there and you spend the money and your team goes to and barbecue, you still can enjoy yourself. There's still plenty to do. You don't feel like you just wasted your money.
That's right. Get a good little vacation out of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have Eric join us, sir.
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and bring him in. We'll bring him.
Hey, Dave, very quickly, I wanted to ask Brady, kind of working in reverse, Brady, I know you're a Pennsylvania kid, but you have a tie to Jason Knights, who pitched for the Pirates, a tremendous lefty, really had some good years out of the bullpen. But talk about your passion for East Carolina, and even before you came to East Carolina, and, you know, just wanting to be a Pirate.
Yeah, so my cousin Jason pitched here, a lefty pitcher, got drafted by the Giants after, but that's what, when I was growing up, I don't remember how old it was, but whenever Jason was playing here, 04, 5, 6, we all traveled down here in the spring and watch him play. So, I mean, I got to see Clark LePere when it was first built. Get to go out there and kind of see that atmosphere. So growing up, East Carolina was kind of always like one of those places I'd be like, man, I'd love to go play there. So, I mean, I definitely got lucky enough to be able to be recruited to come down here and play. So, I mean, it's definitely a dream come true to be able to play college baseball at one of the schools I wanted to play at. So,
Brady, that brings up an interesting question for me then. You being from Pennsylvania and wanting to be a Pirate, how familiar were your teammates? How familiar were when you were playing through high school and all that? That it, amongst other baseball players, how familiar were they with East Carolina's baseball program?
I mean, I wouldn't say too familiar. I mean, kind of people that were serious about baseball knew, like my cousin played there. They kind of knew a little bit, but I mean, I really wouldn't say many people, nor would I say I knew a ton about it until he went there. I mean, now ECU, you say ECU baseball to people up home, they know about it. ECU's on the map. Not that they weren't before, but it's more publicized now. So it's definitely it's a lot bigger now for sure.
Yeah, college baseball as a whole has grown so much over the last 5 to 10 years that you know you if you're winning now, you get so much more coverage than you did, you know, even 04, 05.
No question about it. We're going to have another great Pirate, Eric Tyler, joining us the conversation. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Larry!
There we go.
How are you guys tonight?
We're doing a lot better now that Pirate Baseball, we got a big win today, so feeling great tonight. I feel Bubba, like I was telling Brady before the show, that it was perfect that you guys were coming on. I sent him a text earlier that you were the two perfect guys to have on, and I'm glad that you got that the Pirates got a big win, and we can definitely talk about that and moving forward too.
Eric, did you call Brady Larry?
Yeah, see, that's not his nickname. I haven't called Brady. I haven't even heard Brady called Brady since like the first week I met him.
Okay, all right. Now, why? What's the story behind your nickname being Larry?
It's pretty basic, but Wes Phillips, one of our teammates, he decided when I started growing the mullet out that I looked like a Larry, and he started calling me Larry, and for some reason, Larry is the nickname that stuck. So, Coach calls me Larry. Everyone calls me Larry. If you'd call me Larry, I'd look.
That's Wes Phillips' fault.
Yes.
That's your stage name. We'll just call you Larry from now on.
That's right.
And real quick, I want to touch on this because I heard his answer while I was in the waiting room. But Brady wasn't as excited to talk about Clearwater because he didn't have to experience that 2014 last year in Conference USA when we were in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, staying at a Ramada Inn, and it was 4,000 degrees. And we had a bunch of Hattiesburg residents screaming at us. So, Larry, if you're not appreciative of Clearwater, you're more than welcome to go visit Hattiesburg, Mississippi in the end of May.
That's fair.
So you weren't a big fan of the Berg, the fine residents of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and the greater southern Mississippi area did not treat you well?
Let's just say we'd rather take our free week of hotel on the beach and, you know, being by the water and playing in a professional stadium. But if Brady wants to make his way to Hattiesburg, he's more than welcome.
Well, you got Leafless Barbecue at least in Hattiesburg.
I don't even remember the barbecue. I was hitting 180. Nothing tasted good.
Hey, what do you think, Kyle? Do you think the women are prettier in Clearwater or in Hattiesburg?
You know what? Probably Clearwater as a whole, but there's some good-looking women in Mississippi. You can't put me on the spot too much by talking crap about Hattiesburg. You know that, Dave. I got.
One of his best friends. I'm doing that on purpose, guys, because one of his best friends lives in Hattiesburg. So, and he watches her and listens to the show.
I need to retreat. Then I came in hot.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, exactly. You're good. You're good. But I'm not going to call the women in Hattiesburg ugly. I'm not fixing to do that one.
You'll get some heat like a pro wrestler, man.
Yeah, though James's girlfriend is a North Carolina girl. She is not from Hattiesburg originally.
And there you go. What do you guys think as far as the rest of the way with you guys being there in the past with winning the tournament, losing it? What do they have to do from this point forward? You know, they had the tough break yesterday. Things didn't go their way. The end of the regular season didn't go their way. They get the win today, and they're going to have a game, what, on Friday? So I would imagine Gavin's going to be starting on Friday is my guess. I'm not trying to be coach, but if I had my guess, I would think it would be Gavin on Friday with the ball in his hand.
Yeah, you would assume. And I'll say this. I think winning the conference tournament is a little bit more difficult than winning a regional, and I'm a little biased there. But in a regional, I mean, if you win your first game, then all of a sudden you're in a situation where if you win another, then somebody's got to beat you twice, right? And so and you win. And so we ran through in 16, and we won the first three, and it was, you know, a three-game weekend. Where in the conference tournament, even if you win them all, you got to win four. And so once you lose that first one, then it turns into five games, and it becomes a grind. And it's as hot as could be down there. And I remember Charlie Jorgen joke around and say it felt like he was breathing through a straw. So, I mean, it's hot. You're playing during the day. And it's a grind down there. And you see, like, they showed a graphic yesterday during the game. You know, no teams lost their first round game and won the tournament in AAC history. But what CG and the guys do a good job of is taking, you know, one game at a time. And what was good to see today is us gain some momentum and get back on our feet and get ready for he's going to kill me if I say get ready for next week, because I'm worried about the next game. So get back on their feet, get ready for the next game.
Do you guys think we've done enough at this point? Do you think we got a host site locked in, or do you think we need to at least win one more?
I'm not on the committee. I would like to be, but I'm not. But I think they have. I think we win today. Obviously, if you go 0-2, it gets pretty interesting. But I think winning today, I think that's going to lock you into the top 16. I feel pretty good about that. Like I said, that's coming with, you know, zero actual knowledge of what's going on in the committee's eyes.
Yeah, but I definitely say the same. Definitely biased to ECU, but I haven't paid enough attention to all the other teams to really say specifically, but –
It sure would be nice to at least win one more. It would make me breathe a lot easier.
And it gets us 40 wins and check off the first goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. Guys, we actually have a comment here from Josh Thomas. He says, "Will Brady or Eric be in Greenville for the regional? If so, come by my pig cooker in the jungle and grab a barbecue plate and a pirate beverage." So there you go, guys.
That was Josh Thomas. Yeah, we're picking him up on.
Hey, I'm actually living in Greenville now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, just got a job at I'm working here at Young, so I'm around.
There you go, Josh. If you were bluffing, now he's gonna call your bluff. He's gonna find you in the jungle and get some barbecue for sure. No doubt about it. Richard Allsburg has a question for you guys. Favorite coach Godwin saying?
Brady, you go first.
I'm trying to think.
You don't have to worry about the FCC, Brady, so if it's something that's off-color, it's fine. I mean, we have to deal with every show with Kyle anyway, so.
Okay, I'll go first, Brady. I'll let you think. One of my favorite things he says that reigns truer the farther we go along is he always asks the freshman what's the best thing about a freshman? And they're like, I don't know, whatever it is. And he goes, the best thing about a freshman is to become a sophomore. that was my favorite line he would always use.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You got to give me some time to think about that one. I don't know.
Is there a favorite memory you have with coach?
Maybe he's not a cliche guy. You know, a lot of people speak in a lot of cliches and have sayings. Is Coach Godwin not like that? Does he not have a lot of cliches and sayings?
Oh, he has a ton of them.
And he's got a lot of them.
Okay.
Hey, if you listen to most of what I was saying, you got to stay in the moment. You got to be where your feet are.
There you
one
go.
One game at a time. That's all Coach Godwin right there. So
the best team doesn't always win. It's the team that plays the best.
Yep. Oh, boy. I can tell you I can't say exactly what he said, but I remember for some reason when I got to go out to play center field during Super Regional at Texas Tech, Coach G came up right beside me. He's just like, yeah, hey, Larry, this is why you come to ECU to play games like this. He said, go out there and let your something hang out. I was like, yeah, let's go. I was all excited all about it. Oh, that's probably one of the, if you say something Coach got, I'm like, man, that's what I remember right there.
By the way, Brady, Josh says he's not bluffing. Brady has seen us out there cooking. He knows where to find us. So on the
that's
barbecue.
Right.
There you go. With the speaking of the big moments, we're talking about the tournament. You know, when the games you have to, at this point, we're going to have to win. What is it, two on Saturday, I believe?
And then we have to win Friday, then two on Saturday, and then one on Sunday. We're going to win it all.
Well, hey, it sounds like the conference schedule this year. I mean, so doesn't it sound like the conference schedule this year we have left? I mean, with four games in 3 days.
At this point, yeah. Now you could look at it like that, and you
guys. That's the way I looked at it.
You got your normal Friday starter throwing Friday, so you know we'll see what happens. I don't know what happened tonight, but if Memphis beat UCF, if we can get UCF Friday. I really believe we can beat Memphis twice on Saturday with their pitching.
UCF and Memphis will be played tomorrow. Tonight it's the other elimination game with Wichita State and Houston.
Okay. Well, then tomorrow, if UCF loses to Memphis and we can eliminate UCF on Friday and have Memphis twice on Saturday, I believe their pitching depth is not very good. And I think we could end up in the championship game if it plays out that way.
Yeah, I'll chime in on that. Like, we won the conference regular season for a reason. Like, I mean, I would say we're the best team in the conference. And if we play good baseball, there's not a team down in Clearwater right now that could beat us. You know, we didn't play well yesterday, so we got beat. So there's definitely a road to the championship game and a road to win it. We just have to play good baseball.
No doubt.
One of our regulars, one of our friends, Johnny Gardner, chiming in tonight, guys. He says, Tyler and Larry sing Washers and DWS's team videos. Wash wasn't having any of it.
So I woke up this morning to our group's group chat from where we played the 17 graduates, and it was blowing up. From the second I woke up this morning, we were talking about Washers shoving somebody.
Can you talk about that walk-off in 16 in Charlottesville, one of the best moments, I think, in recent history? Brady was talking about the Super Regional, but that was one of my favorite moments. So, like, if you're looking back over a span of, I guess, late 80s when I became a Pirate fan, for knowing Pirate baseball, that's one of the right up there with one of the great moments of Pirate baseball history.
It's the best moment of my baseball career, and I was in the on deck circle for it and had nothing to do with it. It was unbelievable, and it's funny.
Hell of a view, though.
No kid, it was a hell of a view. I was so pumped I didn't have to hit.
No pressure.
It was unbelievable. I remember every second of it, from Parker getting on and Turner bunting and Charlie's hit. And it was funny. We had to score all those runs, and it was like it happened in 2 minutes. Like, it was like, boom, it was done. Travis hit a home run, and we were walking it off. But that's something, like I said, it's the most special moment in my baseball career, and something I'll always look back on, and I'll always remember the moment. I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it.
Yeah, what's so funny about that is, I think when you think about it, it seems like we won the regional at that moment. We had to turn around and play the next day and beat William and Mary. But I think at least as a fan, I can't speak for you guys as a player, but as a fan, I remember thinking, all right, we got this. We're regional champions as soon as we won that ball game.
There was a lot of confidence there, and I probably shouldn't say there's a lot of confidence there, but when we were on the way to the stadium the next day and William and Mary and Virginia were playing and we had the winner and the winner of that had to beat us twice, when that bus found out that William and Mary won instead of UVA, that's what it set in. I was like, okay, they can't beat us twice. Let's go.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Now that I say that, I do remember that. The Hoos had to lose to William & Mary before we knew we were playing the Tribe. And you're right. That was when the confidence really set in. Now that you say that.
I don't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
The best part of that was being on the bus outside of the stadium when that game was going on and just seeing all the Virginia fans just marching out with their head down all upset.
I remember I was watching that Virginia game against you guys, and I thought it was over. So I was like, well, my wife was waiting on me. We were going to dinner. We were living in Kinston at the time. We were driving to Greenville for dinner. And I was like, well, hell, I'll listen to the rest of it on the radio. We're going to lose anyway. And I remember just literally almost jumping out of the truck. When he hit the home run, I literally almost jumped out of the truck while it was moving. I had this sudden burst of energy, and it had to go somewhere. I didn't know what to do.
I'll tell you what, that call from Corey Glore is definitely right up there. I mean, he's had some great calls, but I still think I remember listening to it on the radio with Corey, and that was just obviously you guys know his first year. And man, I think that moment put Corey on the map as far as Pirate fans really loving him. We liked him, obviously, what he was doing in the season, but that pretty much cemented him as a Pirate, in my opinion. And I know I'm biased because he comes on our show every week. But that was a special, I think, maybe if I've been watching the game, but I usually listen to the game and watch it. But I remember driving, listening to that game, and what a special moment. And especially since you have Virginia who wins the national championship. But early in that season, didn't you guys take 2 out of 3 anyway from them earlier in the year?
Yeah, we went up there. Sure you're right. I think it was the second week of the season we went up there, and we won 2 of 3. We won on Friday and Saturday night. Yep.
And we have another comment here from people are chiming in a lot tonight, which is good. If you have any questions you want to put up for Facebook, our YouTube channel, or, of course, Periscope or Twitter, you can do so. What's a memorable, Josh is asking, a more memorable way to win a game, a run rule or walk-off?
Walk-off.
Walk-off for sure.
Speaking of which, thank you, Josh, for that, because, Brady, one of my favorite memories with was with you with that bunt squeeze you had against Campbell. That was really sweet. Was that 2 years? I guess that was in 2019, right?
Yep, 19. Pretty sure that was the last game of the season. They decided to bring 5 infielders in, and they weren't ready for a bunt to come. I was like, man, that's what I was good at. I was just laying down bunts left and right all year. They should have expected that. I remember that specifically, they changed pitcher. I was going up to bat, like, okay, I'm going to bunt. Change of pitcher, coach comes over to me. He's like, hey, we're going to swing. I'm like, okay. And then he probably changed it 1 or 2 more times. So he's just like, hey, we're actually going to bunt here. I was like, okay, cool. That's what I was planning on doing in the first place.
So. What do you guys think about the bunt seeming to die out in favor in baseball? I mean, Coach Godwin still likes to do it a lot. And, you know, our team's always bunt well, and you have several guys who know how to lay down proper bunts. What do you guys think about it not being in vogue in baseball anymore?
Yeah, I mean, with as much analytics as in it, obviously there's a number to it. I enjoyed the aspect of it. Now, both me and Larry were big bunters. I've pretty more in the sacrifice and I'm more in the drag department just because I was fat and the third baseman played in left field. But I think there's a place for it, and I think it's something that they work on inside of the program every day for a reason, and that's why you see them constantly one of the best bunting teams in the country. And you don't realize how important bunting is until you need one down and the guy play has no chance to do it. So I think there's a place for it. Obviously, I see the numbers and the value in swinging, but I think it's important.
Do you guys think as less and less teams bunt – as less and less teams bunt less and less, that's poor English, but as you see fewer teams bunt and bunt less often, do you think it becomes harder to defend, and teams that can do it well, it'll become even more of a weapon, and you can use it more for, you know, to bunt for a base hit versus just trying to get a squeeze play.
Yeah, I mean, if you're defending it less, you're not as comfortable. But I think one of the most important parts of the bunt, and I think the reason we teach it at ECU the way we do is, you know, if you get a bunt back to the pitcher, not right back to him, but if you make the pitcher field the bunt, well, he's the worst fielder on the field, and he's not used to it. That's where you see the errors. You don't see the third baseman charge in and throw it past the first baseman. You see a pitcher panic and throw it away. So I think the less that pitcher fields bunts, the worse he'll be at fielding bunts. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that for me, someone I'm probably teaching my – I was just talking about right before he came on. I'm going to be working with him on that because I think he's in farm league, getting ready to be Little League next year. I think that's to me, it's a fundamental of the game. I'm glad that coach hasn't gotten away from that. I think it's definitely a skill that every player should know. And people, I know that you guys were good. There's some guys that are better at bunting than others, but that's just to me, a tool in your toolbox. If you have that, if you don't have that, that's one less tool.
No, 100%. Brady utilized it better than anybody.
Yeah. We got Richard Ellsworth chiming in. Said Matt Bridges was great at Texas Tech in 2016 and was huge again today.
Making his first start.
It seems like Bridges has been playing here since Keith LeClair was here, I swear.
Matt Bridges and another guy down at Texas Tech was Sam Lanier. Both those guys. And Chris Holba did it in the regional at Virginia. Those three as freshmen were unbelievable out of the bullpen in that postseason. I'll never forget that. I mean, Matt Bridges and Lanier were at like 92, 93 as freshmen down there.
Oh. How about this? This is great. Let's put this up on the screen here. Josh O'Neill chiming in says, speaking of Corey's calls, how about the Brickhouse regional home run? Who's your daddy? Brickhouse is your daddy. I forgot about that, Josh. That was a great.
Well, hey, Corey said that. For you.
Yeah, he did. I remember that. he is. And we're glad to have him at ECU now permanently. Not just for being the play-by-play voice, doing a lot of nice stuff behind the scenes, and we'll have him again this weekend on our extra innings show. So hopefully people will watch that as we're hopefully talking about Pirates and winning another championship. And I know that we've got some work to do, but certainly one of the questions I have for both of you guys, being former players, and you have Clearwater, you have the beach, beautiful women, you have partying, all that kind of stuff. I know that coach was saying that he didn't want the guys going to the beach or too much to the beach, but how much of that is a distraction? I mean, you're in Clearwater. You guys are college guys. You're college kids. I mean, you know, even though you're human, I mean, how much of that is, can you sneak out at night, or will coach ever find out about that?
I don't think you want to test it.
Will there be pencil rolls involved or anything like any? What's the disciplinary? We won't ask anybody any names, but are there certain players who got in trouble and he was pretty hard on them?
So we went down there three times and nobody got in trouble while I was down there. There are some distractions. Brady, were you there for the braids year?
The what year?
When I got the braids.
Yeah.
So there are some distractions down there. My junior year, it would have been Brady's freshman year, I had long hair. And a nice lady on the pier was offering to braid people's hair. And so I thought it was a good idea to get mine put in braids. And so, you know, all on my hair were these braids. And I had her leave it long in the back so you couldn't see it in a hat. And I remember getting on the bus the next day, and I was talking to Coach Palumbo, and I was like, hey, I think I made a mistake. Do I tell Cliff, or do I just let him see it? He, of course, was like, that's up to you. And so basically Cliff was mad, but he was like, you know, we lose one game, they come out. And so, of course, that's the year we went 0-2. And we lose to Memphis, and I'm on the back of the bus on the way to the hotel, just ripping braids out of my hair, just pulling them out by myself, just crushing my head. And we get back, and I'm getting yelled at in the parking lot back at the hotel with half of my head still in braids and the other half out in long hair. So yeah, there's some temptations down there to do some stupid stuff.
Braiding your hair is not what I was thinking. You know, might get you in trouble to clear what. What made you want the braids? Was the girl braiding hair cute?
No, I have no idea. We just walked past as a group. We had just left the beach. I don't know what happened, and I looked up, and we were in braids. But yeah, but nobody got in trouble down there. Nobody got in trouble.
Was that 100% your decision?
No. There was some peer pressure involved.
Peer pressure. Interesting choice. I didn't know, maybe there was some reggae music going on. You were feeling a little, you know, a Rasta Barley, you know, maybe there was some smoke in the air. I don't know.
On a serious note, I was really excited to see the GPA again, very, very high. Once again, very proud of it. I think it was a 3.69. My GPA was not anywhere near that. So I remember talking to Coach about the GPA and about, you know, you will play. He said, Dave, not only will you not play, you won't even practice for me. And so how big a deal is that for you guys? I know that the graduation rate's great. I know with the GPA is very high. You guys also are very good with community service. That's a big deal. And like my son wants to, because of all that you guys, he's looked up to you guys. He wants to play for Coach Godwin. So when you see like stuff like that, it's such a cliche that as a dad, you know, you always want to say, well, my son, I would love for my son to play for Coach Godwin. But in this particular case, it's true.
Brady, I'll let you touch on that.
Hey, I mean, how you do anything's how you do everything. So I mean, do good in the classroom, do good in the field, everything translates, do the right thing all times when nobody's watching. This is one right there.
There you go. No, it really is important. And when Coach Cowan says they talk about it every day, they talk about it every day. You know, each assistant coach is assigned 4 or 5 players that he's supposed to keep up with their grades. And, I mean, every grade you get, you turn into Rebecca Wade. And what an unbelievable job she does. On that side, like Coach Godwin continues to give her credit, but there's no way to give her enough credit for what she does. She's always there for the players, whatever they need, whatever classes they need. She's the best. You know, she's the driving force behind that GPA.
Yeah, I'll definitely say from going back to school and do classes and stuff myself, it's 10 times easier how to figure out take classes scheduled and make sure you're on top of your stuff. That's for sure. This is awesome.
Yeah, that's good to hear because, you know, people like that, and I know Coach Godwin, like you said, gives her credit, but, you know, you normally don't hear about people in those academic support roles, et cetera, from players. So that's good to hear you guys give her praise because as fans, you don't think about people like Rebecca Wade and the job she does to make sure you guys stay on task and academically eligible so we can watch you win ball games.
No, the entire support staff around the program is, you know, I couldn't ask for more. I know when I was there, the strength and conditioning coach was Blaine Kinsley, and he did an unbelievable job. And I think I've met him. Dennis is the new guy. Is that right, Brady?
Yep, he was there helping out like a student.
Yeah, he was an intern for Blaine. Yeah. So the support staff they have there is unbelievable. Between those two and Zach Womack, and I know I'm probably leaving somebody out, but they make life easy for the players.
Good to hear.
Now, Eric and Brady, one of the questions I had for you, this has been talked about a lot, not only in East Carolina's situation, but just teams around the country. You know, Eric, I guess your sophomore year, Coach Godwin's first year, we made that run through the tournament, then went down to Coral Gables, didn't play particularly well. 2016 was a quick exit, and then we went up and won the Charlottesville Regional, nearly go to Omaha. And then kind of the same situation in 2018, we won it. I believe that was the year when we had so much rain wreaking havoc with the schedule down in Clearwater. And then 2019, we had a relatively quick exit, if I'm not mistaken. So Just talk about those experiences, and then how you thought that impacted the region the following week.
Oh, there's no doubt our sophomore year. I think that would have been 16, maybe, or 7, or 15 or 16, one of the two. When we went to the Miami Regional, which was Cliff's first year, we came in the fall. 15?
Yep.
When we came in the fall, we didn't know what to expect. You know, Chris Scott was new coach, and he ran us. I mean, he ran the fool out of it. We ran every day, and he ran a lot of people off. And we played a full season with about 23 or 24 players total. Like, we barely had a travel roster, which made us significantly tighter. Like, that group was as tight as you can be. But after four games in the Florida Heat, we were gassed. You know, we were back home for a day to practice and then back down to Miami, and it was exhausting. We were a tired ball club down in Miami. Vice versa, we go to junior year, we go to and bus our way back to Greenville, and we have, you know, a normal size roster. But we practiced all week when we got back. I remember getting off the bus and going to lift, and then we practiced, and it was nonstop. They lose the next game. It's not like they're not going to come home and just put their feet up. They're going to practice. But I think that gave us some time to kind of reset and recharge. And so it was a blessing in disguise. You know, we went what we felt like was pretty healthy and 100% to Charlottesville that week. So it definitely plays a role. You know, I've been on both ends of it, where we were exhausted coming out of there because we had played all the way through the championship game. And I came out of it healthy because we went 2-out.
So, yeah, it may be a blessing in disguise if we come home Friday or Saturday, if we can get things reset and get ready for the regional, as long as it doesn't affect our hosting chances, it may be a blessing in disguise if we're not playing on Sunday.
If we lose on Friday, now I'm going to get blamed.
No doubt about it. Guys, what I was talking earlier in the show about social media, the like, and the fans, I don't think they understand, the fans understand what you guys go through. And I know that we don't have a lot of time, but can you guys both talk about how hard it is to be a baseball player at ECU? When we're talking about the academics, you have community service, you have like all the homework, all that kind of stuff. You have all the practices, ball games, the lifting, all that kind of stuff with the conditioning. Can you talk about the day in the life of a baseball player at ECU, because the fans need to hear, they don't understand the commitment level that you have at a D1 level baseball team program, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, playing at ECU, I mean, you wake up, you get ready to go to class right in the morning, and from class, you get done with your classes, depending on what it is, you're off to the field 12, 1, 2-ish, maybe at the latest, and I mean, you're there, whether it's that, lifting, doing something, getting extra work, and you're there till like 7:30 something. And you got to come home, eat, make sure you're getting ready for the next day, and you got to do your schoolwork. So, I mean, it's a long day every day of the week. I mean, you get your off days. That's not like on your off days, you're not doing work to get better. So, I mean, it's a full-time job, like two full-time jobs, really.
Yeah, it's the best job in the world. And another Cliff Godwin line is, it's a privilege, not a grind. And they take part in that in the program. He asked you like that one, Larry?
Yeah.
You break your balls? They ask a lot of their players, but the players also get a lot. And they get the support of those fans that you were talking about. And with that support comes the comments when you don't perform up to East Carolina standards. But again, I'd much rather be a part of that environment than an environment that doesn't expect to win. And I think when you have tradition like we do at ECU, there's a level of excellence you expect to stand up to. But the one thing that I think fans need to realize is whatever anger they feel, whatever, however upset they get, you know, the 30 guys down in the dugout feel it much worse than they do.
No doubt about it. You think Cliff Godwin doesn't want to win? I mean, you guys know, I think if his grandma were playing, he may, you know, it's like he wants to win at any cost. I'm not talking about cheating. I'm talking about just the fact of how competitive he is. And I love that when he's like anytime, anywhere, any place, you know, that's the kind of guy that you want as your coach.
For sure, 100%. Coach wouldn't want to play for any other guy.
No doubt about it. And as far as I want to ask you guys this, as far as I know, one of the things that's important to me is hopefully the administration, they do listen to our show. So I hope that they will get more stuff for Cliff, because there's a lot of great recruiting he's done, like bring a lot of players in, great coaches, great staff, on and on and on. What about the fact that he wants to bring in, I know, adding locker rooms for former players, the weight room just for you guys, a lot of that kind of amenities. That, how big a deal is that, like, for you guys, for players now versus, like, guys in the 90s like me, it wouldn't be as a big deal?
You broke up a little bit. Can you say the end of that again?
Yeah, I was just talking about the very fact of how the amenities that Coach wants to add to the program, like a for former players, a locker room when you come back and work out. He wants to add a weight room just for the baseball players, different things like that. I was like, how big of a deal is that for, as far as recruiting is concerned, to have that in the complex, in the program for baseball?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. I think the weight room is the first thing is – you know, we use the weight room down by the football field, but having one at the facility is a big deal, whether it's a pitcher getting rehab work in or a position player that had class and needs to get a quick lift in before practice. That's a huge deal. But anytime you talk facility upgrades, you talk about the arms race in college baseball. And, you know, we just spoke on the standard East Carolina has. And if you want to bring in the type and the quality of player that needs to play at East Carolina for them to reach their goal, then we have to have the facilities to match. And that's a big deal for the 18-year-old or now 16-year-old, 14-year-old high school kid coming through the building is, what do these facilities look like? What do I get to be around for 3 or 4 years? And they're not going just to one school. They're going to other schools. And so if you want to get that player, you know, you have to have the facilities.
Yeah, and I know, like, everyone always talks about leaving it better than when he came here. Like, Eric, when he came here, I mean, you see the new stuff we've gotten just from how great their teams have played, how good the teams I've played on. Yeah, keep winning, you keep getting nice things. So,
speaking of which, guys, obviously, I waited for on purpose the last end of the show. Asked, but what do you think it's going to take to get to Omaha? You know, we hear about that all the time. Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. How do we get to Omaha? How do we get the monkey off our back as far as the program?
It's only Peyton Manning there for a minute, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish there was a secret formula and say we need this, we need that, but we need to play our best baseball at the right time of the year. You know, I look back at my regional team, and, you know, we were 90 feet away from Omaha. Brady Lloyd hits a ball up the middle that, to this day, I'm watching the dugout, and it's up the middle, and it's a hit, and we win, and it hits the mound and kicks right. But, it's that close. And we weren't a talented group. Like, every group that's after us is better than us, right? And so it just takes playing your best baseball at the end of the year. It takes – Travis Watkins hitting 3 home runs in a regional game. It takes Charlie Jorgen having 9 hits in 3 games at a regional. Like, it takes you playing your best baseball at the right time. And that's what we did that year. Almost got through the hump. But they're talented. It's not like we need more talent. We need to play good baseball at the right time of the year.
Yeah, that's exactly. Coach always talks about we have the common talent in the locker room. I mean, it's like I said, at the right time, being tough, overcoming adversity is probably one of the biggest things, because no matter what, there's going to be adversity all the time. So whoever team's the toughest, we got some tough teams, ECU, so we got the talent, just got to keep going. There's no special formula to it. Got to get out there and do it.
Yeah, and Josh Thomas says needs to host a super regional. Do you think that plays – how big of an advantage do you think hosting a super regional in Greenville? We've never done that in Greenville. We did that, what was it, Kyle? 2001, we were in Kinston hosting a super regional, but not on campus. How big a deal do you think that will be to host a super regional in Greenville at Clark? Okay, that place is going to be, you want to talk about a tough ticket to get, man. There'll be people begging, probably $100, $200 a ticket. Maybe not that much, but it'll be a lot for a ticket.
Obviously, playing in a super regional in front of some of the best fans in the country would be a huge advantage. If you play in a super regional, you're going to play against one of the top 16 teams in the country. So it's going to be a dogfight. So if you can play that in front of some of the best fans in the country that are all rooting for you, yeah, that's a gigantic advantage. But we don't need to play to win a super regional. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the things, like I said, we don't have to play at home, but obviously it's a huge advantage.
Yeah, along the same lines, I have a follow-up question. Looking back at all the different super regionals this program has played in, you know, through the years, under Coach Blair, under Coach Maisie, Billy Godwin, and now Cliff, it seems to me our best performance in the super regional was down in Lubbock against Texas Tech. And maybe it was just coincidental because the team had gotten red hot. But do you guys think that playing a team outside of the area, like Texas Tech, or, you know, I've seen some people have us paired in the super regionals if we win our regional with, like, Arizona. Do you think playing the team from outside the area, if we go on the road to play a super regional versus an ACC or SEC team, is to our advantage?
That's hard to say. I mean, Texas Tech was a really good ball club, and we knew that very well going down there. You know, we don't. It's not like there's a discrepancy between Texas Tech and Mississippi State. Like, you play in an environment, and Texas Tech was the loudest place I ever played at. We played it. We opened the year at Ole Miss the next year, and Ole Miss had 12,000 in the game to Texas Tech's 5,000, and Texas Tech was louder by a long shot. And so I think, I mean, you go to a place, sure, you can go out west and go to Arizona. I don't know the following they have. I don't think it's a Mississippi State or something like that, or ECU. But I don't know if that plays a huge difference into that. Again, it's a best of three series, and both teams know everything's on the line. So it takes luck, it takes toughness, and it takes playing good baseball.
Well, before we let you go, you guys, regardless of the outcome, I think we had talked to Brady, but Eric, do you think we're going to, now with the win today, do you think we're still hosting a regional next week in Greenville?
Yeah, I think so. I think they kind of locks that in. I'm not an expert on that. Obviously, we'd like to win one more and feel great about it. We'd like to win four more and go home with a championship and feel perfect about it. But I think they'll host. Obviously, they're not worried about that. You know, they got one of the 20 bids. They want to take care of business. I think if they win Friday, they feel great. But I think that group down in Florida's goal is to come home with the trophy and not feel complacent just because we have a seed locked up.
And the fact that I know Coach is not even talking about a regional, right? He's talking about the next game, next game, next game, next game. That's all he's focused on right now, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, guys, Bill Belichick now, man.
All right, Bubba's got a question, I believe.
Well, not so much a question, but Eric, I know you've been at Baseball Rebellion now for at least a couple of years, if not longer. So just go ahead and plug.
Plug away, Eric.
I didn't get it.
He wants plug to away. Plug Baseball okay, Rebellion.
I work at a baseball facility in Durham, North Carolina. I work at a
– Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, later there. I also do a lot of work. Well, yeah, so we have a big online presence. So check us out online, Baseball Rebellion, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the good stuff. We have a big online reach. So go ahead and check that out. Shoot me a DM if you're interested.
Boy, I tell you what, the internet has not been our friend at times tonight.
There's my plug.
All right, and hopefully the audience got to hear some of that because this connection has been terrible tonight.
Good question, guys. And Josh Thomas chiming in one more time. He said a super at Clark LeClaire will be the biggest party this town has ever seen. No doubt about that. And Josh, I tell you what, if we host a super, I hope that you'll have like barbecue for everybody for all the 5,000 plus fans there.
I'll be there.
Great guys.
Yep, that's right.
No doubt. Well, guys, thank you so much, Brady and Eric. Appreciate you all that you did for the program. Means a lot. Love to have you back on again, and hopefully we can talk deep into June about Pirate baseball. That's the plan.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us.
No doubt. Go Pirates. Have a good night, guys.
Sir.
Appreciate you both very much. Thanks for the time. All right. All right, guys, very special night. Appreciate both those guys. Eric and Brady are fantastic. We've always
Well, maybe we can have them on again where we have a good internet connection the whole time. Holy crap.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just it's just frustrating. I mean, you know the company, Kyle, I have, and I wish they were a sponsor. But thank you, Bubba. Johnny saying, tremendous show. This is why I'm a Pirate Club member. Both are great ambassadors. No doubt about it. They both go. Both those guys put a lot of time into our program, and certainly we just got to dig deep this weekend and focus on the games at hand. And like I said, the way I feel about it, guys, I want to get your thoughts before we go, but I feel like that it's like the conference, this is like basically what the Pirates have left to before they have to win it. It's just like playing four games in what, 3 days. It's like we're having another conference weekend.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I want to win it now after hearing, you know, Eric talk and the theory about coming home and getting some rest and getting back refocused for the regionals. Maybe just win one more, then go ahead and lose game one Saturday. Come on home. I mean, I don't know. It'll be what it'll be. It'll play out how it plays out. But, you know, you can only take care of what's in front of you. And now, right now, what's in front of us is either Memphis or UCF.
Yeah, I definitely think there's something to it for sure. Obviously, you want to win, but at the same time, I don't think it was coincidence by any means, you know, in 2016 and 2019 that we won those regionals.
Well,
that's there's then something
let's
to
lose.
That.
But just as far as our chances, I mean, you have Gavin Williams going against either UCF or Memphis, hopefully. Like Kyle and I were talking earlier, hopefully that will be UCF because it would certainly – it's not going to be easy to beat anybody twice after you've already played three games, but it would be easier to beat Memphis twice and win a couple of shootouts maybe against them than it would be UCF for sure. We've seen how capable they are at times this year. And, you know –
they won that Mississippi game, right? The Ole Miss game?
Yeah, them taking two out of three from Ole Miss and very easily could have swept them. But you have Gavin Williams and you have also Carson Wisenhunt who have not towed the rubber yet. So we're in a pretty good spot. Just need excellent starts first from Gavin and then obviously Wisenhunt after that.
And what about some of the guys coming out of relief, some of those freshmen that have stepped up big time? We're going to need them out of the pen too, I would think, this weekend to have a chance.
Yeah, and guys like Danny Beal, then you know, some of those other guys like Landon Ginn. He's pitched well at times. Kudos today. I wasn't able to chime in at the beginning, but Matt Bridges, he gave us two and two thirds, right around what you would have expected to get. I think he threw 48 pitches. And then Ryder Giles had one of his longer outings of the year. I think Ryder threw 30, maybe 35 pitches today and fared pretty well. How big was it there? We didn't realize exactly how big it was at the time. I think it was when it was 11-1 ball game. But we three consecutive innings, you know, they loaded the bases. But Cincinnati stranded 14 runners in the game. In the fourth and fifth innings, they loaded the bases each of those innings and only got one run, which was absolutely huge.
That fourth inning with Colemore, when he was in, and you know, it's like he's normally lights out, but he was able. It was not very much damage. It was just what one run there. That fourth inning, it comes to mind. I was like, wow. I mean, you know, he pitched out of a major, major jam, and just think about. If more of those runs have scored, if there's a grand slam hit, that would have been huge just in the fourth inning alone, right, Bubba?
Yeah, no doubt. And what a tournament through two games that Connor Norby's having.
Oh my gosh.
Norby leadoff home runs in each of the ball games. Then he had a 3-run shot.
Right.
So he has, 4 hits now for the tournament. 3 of them have left the yard, and at least 2 of those 3 have been the other way. In the announcers, one of which the color analyst had played at Miami. I want to say Xavier something, but Xavier was just talking about just his power to all fields is what's really impressed him about Connor Norby.
Yeah, coach pushed him really hard, and it's really, really paid off. No doubt about it. In fact, Bubba, I know we're going to have extra innings this weekend. Will be our next show. So, folks, make sure that you tune in for that. Brought to you by Next Level Training Center. We appreciate all that Trent Brent has done for us, Gaynell, all those folks where the players train. Is on Wimbledon Drive in Greenville. It's 252-756-NEXT, nextleveltc.com. They have a tremendous Facebook page, great on social media if you get a chance. They've got a lot of cool stuff coming up. We'll have Trent on soon when he can talk about it. I know they're going to have some camps, clinics, if you will, for baseball and softball. So if you have a boy or girl, maybe a grandson, granddaughter, that's looking to improve their game in the off season, then make sure you go to Next Level Training Center. No doubt about it.
Is it still okay to have boys or girls?
What's that?
Is it still okay to have boys or girls?
Yes. Yes, that's fine.
Okay. I
wasn't sure. Kyle, which pronoun do you prefer?
I I'm trying to decide. I'm thinking about going we. I'm thinking about going we and where.
Or they. What about?
But Johnny Robinson made another good point on something I failed to mention, but had wanted to point out. Zach Agnos, he had only seen maybe an inning or two of work this year. He came in, he threw 8 straight balls, but he wasn't missing the zone by much and had at least 2 or 3, if not more, that probably could have gone. Strikeout.
And now Bubba joins.
And showed a lot of emotion right there to get out of that situation. And because Cincinnati had sent the go-ahead run to the plate, it was 11-8, bases loaded, and he got that big punch out.
Yeah, the strikeout was huge right there. It was definitely needed for him to come back right there with bases loaded and get the final out of the inning. And then Norby leads off the next inning with a home run and kind of put things away.
No doubt. And by the way, if you know anything about tournaments, it's survive and advance. That's what we did today. Survive, advance. And let's talk again, guys. The next game is going to be Friday, right? We don't know our opponent yet. We'll know more by tomorrow, right? Well, Bubba, what time is that game coming up with UCF and Memphis?
I'll double check. I want to say it's at 3, but it could thereabouts. And I was also very quickly before we sign off, I was getting the score from the Wichita State Houston game.
All right. So we'll definitely keep you up with social media and like you broke up a little bit.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. You're good.
No,
okay. Wichita State's leading Houston 5-0. In the bottom of the 8th. So barring a complete disaster for the Shockers, they're going to advance and continue to play for another day. Meanwhile, Houston's very forgettable season. Looks like it's going to come to a close.
Well, that's been one of the surprises for me. I didn't think Houston would be this bad for the 21 campaign. But, that's why you have to play the games. And every season, the ebbs and flows of a baseball program or any program for that matter. All right. Well, appreciate Eric Tyler very much. Brady Lloyd, appreciate you, Bubba, Kyle. Josh Thomas, amen, brother, on that. The strike zone for Agnos was crap. So, when you're at church and you got trying to figure out what's going on, you can't say all the stuff you would like to say, probably like that. But no doubt about it. Thanks, Bubba, for keeping me up to date on the game too at church at the very end of the game. That was awesome, and appreciate it very much. All right, guys, until extra innings this weekend, good luck to the Pirates. Any final thoughts for you guys, Kyle?
Just looking forward to see how things play out. Glad we got a win today, and like to win one more and get a little bit of comfort. I'm not as confident on hosting a regional as everybody else is, so I'd like to win one more and get to 40.
Yeah,
I want to win four more.
Let's go ahead and let Gavin Williams get to 10-0, and the Pirates get number 40, hopefully on Friday.
All right, and one of my favorite artists is Jimmy Buffett. Pirate looks at 40, so we'll have that. We're going to be looking at 40 tomorrow. Should say on Friday. And good luck to the Pirates this weekend, the rest of the way in Clearwater, and then we can talk about all the other stuff. Memorial Day weekend, and certainly on Memorial Day with the selection show is on Monday, right, Bubba?
Yeah, but we'll know if we're hosting Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
Sunday
and night, I'm trying to remember the exact time those will be released on social media. I think it's typically Twitter. So we will we may bump the show back depending on when that announcement is. Rather than 7, it may be 8 or 9.
Well, let's see if we can do the show as around the time that announcement's coming out.
Yeah,
that way we can announce it here for people.
Yeah, if you watch it right here, we'll everybody
can come there you and go. We'll do a live viewing party.
There you go.
Sounds good to me. All right, until then, guys, we'll obviously keep you up to date on social media when that's going to happen. We'll know more as the weekend goes on. Good luck to the Pirates. Guys, thank you so much. Again, thanks to Brady and Eric. Until next time, you've been watching and listening to, and this has been a great one, The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!